You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It is the Gym Class for a Thursday here at KGYM. Great to have you with us as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Ben on the other side of the glass. And you, our listener, most importantly, you can interact with us at 319-366-1600. That is a text line. Love to hear from you. As well as the phone line, 319-366-1600. We are jam-packed today. Chris Liss of Real Man Sports and RotoWire.com is going to be joining us a day later than his usual Wednesday appearance, which is brought to you by I'm On Communications. But we will talk with Chris coming up in about 9 minutes or so. Fantasy football questions with the opener coming up tonight. Set your lineups, as we will have that segment for you coming up in just a little bit. You can get your questions in early at 319-366-1600. If you have one for Chris. And then Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com will join us, and we'll look ahead from an Iowa perspective as far as Iowa and Iowa State is concerned. Of course, yesterday we talked with Rob Gray and got the Cyclone perspective. And if you missed that conversation, you can go back and listen to it via our podcast at KGYMRadio.com, available at that particular website as well as Apple or Spotify. And also, coming up tomorrow, your chance to listen in to Before the Boom, the podcast, as we preview the Iowa-Iowa State game for you. Myself, Mark, Todd, and Spencer will sit down, put that together, and should be a good one. Thanks to everybody who listened in last week. We do appreciate it, and a fresh edition will be ready to go coming up for you tomorrow. So pay attention to that at KGYMRadio.com. And all of the places that you can find your podcasts where they are available. How you doing today?
Doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and everyone. We'll have a Bowling Night in America recap.
Yes, we will.
The lid lifter last night. And long live the queen.
Long live the queen, indeed. And that is a top story around the world today. Queen Elizabeth II passing away. She was 96 years old, reigned longer than any monarch as far as England is concerned. You kind of knew, well, 96, first of all, a long and wonderful life that she led. And, you know, obviously the monarchy is not what it used to be a couple hundred years ago, Mark. But it is still big. We were once loyal subjects. For as short a time as it was. But tell you what, some of the things, for example, the DP World Tour, one of the 6 world events going on at Wentworth in England. Immediately upon word of the Queen's passing, they shut it down for the day. And I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to pick it up tomorrow, if they're going to play second and third rounds tomorrow. But yeah. Everyone ordered off the golf course. Play stopped. You could not even go to the beverage tents, merchandise tents, or anything. You had to leave the premises. Obviously, that's how big it is as far as the Queen passing today.
Yeah, tributes being paid in English soccer and elsewhere. And talk about, you know, in our little world, Iowa's had 2 football coaches since 1979. Imagine you having the same job. Is the Queen a job? I don't know.
Could be.
70 years.
She's reigning.
For 70 years.
Pretty amazing.
Quite remarkable.
There will be a formal presentation to make Prince Charles the new king. He will be King Charles. Don't ask me King Charles the what. I have no idea. Third?
The third, I
thought
believe,
it would be
yeah.
more than that.
I believe it's third.
Okay. All right. Very good. So that will be at a later date.
I don't cover the Royals, but I think I heard it's the third.
All right. Very good. So we have that, and as we are saddened by that, we are gladdened by the fact that we've got NFL football tonight. And we've got it right here for you on KGYM. It'll be ring night for the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams at SoFi Stadium. A hot and sultry 90 degree plus SoFi Stadium, it sounds like tonight.
Let's hope the lights work.
Let's hope things work as the LA Rams will take on the Buffalo Bills. And what a lot of experts are kind of predicting, this might be a Super Bowl preview. A lot of water to go under the bridge, certainly. But it's going to be a fun game, fun atmosphere. And yeah, Josh Allen against Matt Stafford and the rest of the Rams. It's going to be a good night.
Be a dandy. Which team wins tonight's NFL opener? The Bills or the Rams? You can vote at KGYMRadio.com. That's our poll question, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City.
There you go. And by the way, KGYM knockout pool is still up and running. Now, if you want to take the Rams or the Bills, you have to get your pick in tonight by the kickoff. Otherwise, you are looking at one of the teams that plays on Sunday or Monday. I got in. I am not allowed to win. Did you sign up yet, Mark?
I have not. I have until kickoff, right?
If you want to take the Bills or the Rams.
No, thanks.
I did not take one of those two teams. I will divulge my team. I will divulge it. I took, for not only the fact that I think that they are going to win the game, but also as an homage to our good friend, the late, great Rick Swann, I took his Cincinnati Bengals in week number one at home to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Not the Chiefs to win their eighth straight opener?
No.
They got Arizona, right?
They got Arizona in the desert. In the desert. Going to be a tough game coming up on Sunday. But, yeah, I took the Bengals. 319-366-1600. Not that that matters to anybody out there, but that's what we have. Fantasy questions already coming in for Chris, and we will talk to him coming up here in just a little bit. We got some afternoon baseball as well. We'll get caught up on that with an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update for you coming up here in just a little bit, as Mark will get to that. And, yeah, got a lot of things going on as far as the scoreboard is concerned today. And we get closer and closer to Iowa and Iowa State. We'll talk to Tom Cakert coming up in just a little bit. Get the Hawkeye perspective going into the ball game. Unless you're following the right Twitter accounts, Mark, I think as far as Cyhawk weeks, it's been pretty tame this week.
Pretty quiet. Now, usually there's a tinge of controversy. One player says something that ends up on a bulletin board, so to speak. Other things that happened in the past, but it's been pretty civil.
Unless you're following, you know, certain people. And then, you know, it's always going to be that way. Always going to be that way. I will get to Mark coming up in a little bit with that Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Go ahead, and we're going to get Chris Liss ready to go with us. And your questions welcome at 319-366-1600. By the way, a lot of folks are talking about George Kittle and his status coming up for the opener for the San Francisco 49ers against your Bears, Mark. He has not been ruled out as of yet, but sources are telling that the 49er tight end and former Hawkeye, who is right now nursing a groin injury, things are not good. That's not going to break your heart, I know.
It's not going to do much for Trey Lance either, as he gets the nod at quarterback for the 49ers.
My quarterback.
Your quarterback.
By the way, I will get my grade from Chris. 96-63 is already telling me I was wrong. The Bengals will never beat Pittsburgh. Steelers have their number.
Have you heard Mitch Trubisky is the Steeler quarterback?
I have.
Yeah.
Hey, Steelers are good. They could still win that game. This was a tough week to pick a team. in the knockout. Very tough week. All right, your questions are welcome for Chris Liss, Real Man Sports. We'll talk about that in a little bit, also in conjunction with rotowire.com, 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is the phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600. Chris, usually on Wednesday, but we thank him for joining us on a Thursday. And Chris, we will do our annual tradition. I will let you know my team that bears your name, and you will give me the grade. So far, things have been pretty good. I'm just going
to
throw that out.
I'm happy to do it. You did well last year. I didn't give you a good grade, but I think you exceeded my expectations for you. So let's hear it. Who do you got?
Talk about your strategy first.
Well, I had a number one pick, and I took Jonathan Taylor. That was a no-brainer. Okay.
No problem. Yeah, good. Yeah.
But then, you know, in a 12-team league, you don't come around again until 24 and 25.
So right.
That's a problem. I'll just tell you those two.
In our league, if you pick first, you don't pick 24th. You pick 24th, and you pick 36th. You get the last pick in the third round, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you a number to call. second and third, I took Keenan Allen and Travis Kelce. So, anyway, okay.
Travis Kelce's fine. I'm not an Allen guy. Is it PPR, full PPR?
Half point PPR.
I'm not loving Allen. I give you a C on that pick. But Obviously Taylor's an A, and Kelce's a solid B+.
All right, so here you go. The four receivers, and these are going to be hard to start. I have, of course, Keenan Allen. Took Alan Lazard, Amari Cooper, and St. Brown of the Detroit Lions.
I like Amon-Ra. I hope it wasn't equanimous. And Lazard, I mean, Rodgers is talking like he's the number one guy for sure, and I could see him getting like 110 or 120 targets. He's not going to get Devontae Adams 160, but maybe he will. Who knows, right? I mean, Rodgers trusts him. So who'd you take at the 4 or 5? You took Amon-Ra, and who else?
Oh, you got to ask me that question. Oh, I took Elijah Mitchell because I had to have a running back.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mitchell's okay at the 4 or 5. A little early for my taste.
You got Lazard late.
Running backs are... You got Lazard late, huh?
I got Lazard late. I did. So those are my four receivers. Mitchell and Taylor. Quarterback, I went with your advice and went way late, Chris. And I got a runner. I got Trey Lance. Of course, now George Kittle's out probably. But and then the Butker and the Packer defense. So what do you think?
I think Lance is a great gamble. And, you know, in a 12-team, you can always pick up Kirk Cousins or whoever is available. Someone will be available if Lance is a bust, and there's a ton of upside there. Obviously, Taylor was a good pick. Kelsey's obviously, you know, he's Kelce. And I'll give you a B-minus.
All right.
B-minus this year. I think you could have got, like, someone like A.J. Brown or someone like, I think, or Michael Pittman or somebody at 25, or maybe you could have got...
I think they were gone.
Robinson. Those guys were gone, huh? So your league, people are paying attention to all this stuff.
They're paying attention.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like DJ Moore better than Keenan Allen, but Keenan Allen's okay. I think you did all right. I'll give you a B-.
B-, Scott. Appreciate it.
You'll make the playoffs. You'll lose in the first round of the playoffs.
All right. Let's get to the real questions here. First of all, 6516 asks, any good daily fantasy plays for tonight's game?
I don't really do a lot of DFS. There's the obvious guys. I haven't looked at the prices, so it's all price dependent, right? Like, so, you know, I don't know what Gabe Davis is priced at, or what Diggs is priced at, or what Kupp or Robinson is priced at. But, I'm not the best guy to ask that because I'm not looking at the numbers.
3148 on the text line. Will Kenneth Walker III be worth hanging on to this early?
I think so. He's really iffy for this week. Probably won't play, but he's practicing with the team. And, you know, I like Rashard Penny. He was great last year at the end, but he's never stayed healthy. And I think they'll give Walker some work, even if Penny is healthy. And if Penny gets hurt, Walker can get a big workload. So hang on to him. Be patient.
All right. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. Get your questions for Chris in here at 3, coming up on 319 here on the Gym Class for Thursday on KGYM. 4570 asks, your advice, pick for a flex spot. One of these three, Thielen, Kirk, or Waddle?
Yeah, I'd probably go Waddle, although the Patriots are pretty tough. And I love Kirk. Thielen would be my third choice of the three. I'm going to say with that matchup, I'll still probably say Waddle, who practiced in full today, but close between Waddle and Kirk.
I think part of the reason Scott took Lance because of his feet.
Correct.
Why? Yep. What do you have him projected at this year?
I mean, I did do projections in February for RotoWire, but I'm not really like updating projections. But off the top of my head, you know, he's really a boom bust guy because he could lose his job. I mean, Garoppolo's still there. If the Niners are 1-3 and Lance is playing badly, they're going to have to think about it, right? If Lance just is not ready, we don't know if Lance is good. We really don't know for sure. But assuming he's above the threshold, they used a third overall pick on him last year. You know, they really need to see that he's good. If he's good enough, he could run for 800 yards. He could run for 850 yards. He could run for 7 touchdowns. And then, you know, if Kittle ever comes back, and probably should in a couple weeks, and he could even play this week, but I'm getting dubious. Ayuk and Debo, you know, he may throw for a decent amount too. So Lance could be the 1.1 quarterback. I mean, he's got that much upside, or he could lose his job. So it's really hard to do a projection, but I think in a 12-team league where there's plenty of quarterbacks in the waiver wire, Scott getting him makes sense. It's not a bad pick.
There you go. Don't say 1.1, by the way, in Eastern Iowa. That's an inside joke. That's a quarterback rating for the starting quarterback for the Hawkeyes. 6882 asks, and this is what I'm looking for as a Chief fan on Sunday, is Clyde Edwards-Helaire worth the roster spot if you have already Barkley, Dobbins, Penny, and Kamara?
Yes. I drafted Helaire in my high stakes league last night. Unfortunately, I also drafted Kittle. I didn't realize he just got hurt before the draft started. But Edwards-Helaire, I mean, who knows, Scott, right? Like, do we know what the Chiefs are going to do in their backfield? Maybe it's Pacheco. Maybe it's some combination of guys. But what if Helaire has picked up the pass blocking and they're like, okay, we trust him on third down, and they start throwing to him? I mean, I just think, you know, when you start getting in the eighth round, like I got him, then I think it's worth a gamble. I think, you know, last year in the third round or as rookie in the first round, you know, that was a bad pick. But in the eighth round, it's worth a gamble, I think.
I have no idea what the Chiefs are going to do. I mean, Jones, yeah, a lot of people say, is still a big part of the game plan. Didn't play a lot as far as the preseason is concerned. Clyde didn't play a whole lot. Pacheco took most of the carries, but remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think a receiver too, right? I almost took Juju in the fourth, and then I thought, and then Mahomes said something about, we're going to disappoint fantasy owners, we're going to throw to everybody. And you know, there's just that training camp talk, it doesn't mean anything. But it spooked me just enough that I passed on him when I was drafting.
Scott and I were talking prior to the show about kind of a tough week for a knockout pool. Do you agree?
Terrible. Oh, yeah. Horrible. You know, I just put $1,000 down on this Vegas thing, the one that we rode to, you know, last 23 last year. And, you know, I'm not enjoying this. You know, I don't want to lose the first week with $1,000. You know, I'll be really pissed. You know, I don't know if I could say that on the air. I'll be upset, you know. And but, you know, there's no – if you look at it, all the lines are about 7. 7.5 is the biggest line. And a 7-point line translates to about a 70-75% chance. So there's a 25% chance you lose no matter what you take. And would you get in an airplane with a 25% chance of crashing? No, you would not. 25% is a high percentage. It's, you know, it's got to be like 1 in 10 million to get on the airplane, which is what it is. You don't get on the airplane with 75%. So we all got to get on this airplane this week. And I'm leaning Denver right now, but I, you know, I could see the Colts. I could see the Ravens. Those are sort of my three choices. I think I narrowed it down to Denver, the Colts, and the Ravens. And I'm really torn, and I'm going to make a pick and have to live with it. And, you know, so, and I was joking about this in my podcast, but, you know, the Monday night game is Denver. And since I'm in Portugal, I don't stay up all night. I just, you know, watch the rewind, the 40-minute version Monday morning, and I won't check Twitter or check my email. I'll just go turn the game on right away. But I could already be dead. You know, I could already be dead and not know it. And I was saying I wake up dead. You know, I could wake up Monday morning dead or Tuesday morning. Already my survivor is dead. So it's a horrible prospect, but we got to all pick, and it's down to those three for me. And I just think you really just got to go with your gut because nobody knows. It's the NFL. Nobody knows.
I got a couple people not liking my Bengals pick at home against the Steelers.
I don't love that. But you know what? A lot of the Mike Clay, ESPN, he's a very sharp guy. I think he has the Bengals as the best pick this week, I think. I'm taking the Steelers and the points, I think. I just think that's a rivalry game, and Tomlin's a good coach. I think they're going to be up for him. And then there's the Super Bowl hangover where, you know, you played the whole way, all the way into February, and you lost. And that's, you know, a lot of teams have had trouble, you know, the next year after that. So I wouldn't do that one. But
Mitch,
who knows? It's
Trubisky.
They're also in the conversation.
Mitch?
Trubisky.
Yeah.
It's true. But I'll give you a counterpoint, though. Chicago has never had a good quarterback. I mean, since, like, the 50s. You know, you look at their best quarterback is who? It's like Jim McMahon, Jay Cutler. So it's just really hard to play quarterback in Chicago. And then you have, like, Matt Nagy and that bad offense. Maybe Trubisky's not as terrible as we think. You know, that's the other side of it.
0909 on the text line. Should I play Miles Sanders or Tony Pollard?
I would probably play Sanders against the Lions rather than Pollard against the Bucks. But it's pretty close.
Yeah. Everything this early, I mean, with three preseason games only instead of four, a lot of teams didn't play their starters very much. I mean, it's getting harder to figure out those questions like that going in the opening week.
Yeah, I agree. I think those timeshare backfields, like, we're going to find out. You know, it's like we make assumptions, but, you know, sometimes the coach will say one thing and then, or you'll see Pacheco and he'll get hyped up and then Ronald Jones gets 15 carries the first week and you're like, what? Where did that come from? And it, all of that's possible. And I was trying to draft those guys like the Ronald Jones is late because I think nobody really knows, but the market overcorrects sometimes.
I got Ronald Jones late, as well as the backup to Jonathan Taylor, just in case.
Yeah.
Smart moves right there. Hey, seems like everybody, and I get it, because Jefferson is one of the elite receivers in the NFL, but Adam Thielen is, correct me if I'm wrong, is still pretty good, right? All he does is catch touchdowns.
Yeah, he was the red zone guy, and Jefferson was kind of the downfield guy. But the thing is, like, Thielen is, what, he's 30 or 31 now. And the last few years, he's been banged up. He was really good for a couple of years, and then he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And, you know, one of the biggest indicators, the biggest predictors of ill health is prior ill health. And then you add age to it, you know, where your hamstrings, you know, I know it's like you, Scott, when you go out for a jog, you know, it's hard to get loosened up at this age. So Thielen is like you. You know, he's getting old, and he has gotten hurt a lot. And so I kind of stayed away from him. But you're right. If he's healthy, he should catch 80 passes and 8 or 9 touchdowns at least and should be a pass-heavy offense this year.
It's not jogging anymore. It's bowling, Chris. So.
Yeah, bowling. Yeah, reduced to bowling. Well,
and golf. Oh, man. Couple more minutes here with Chris. If you have a question at 319-366-1600.
What do you make of staying with the Vikings, your thoughts on Kirk Cousins? I mean, a couple people out there think he's going to be the MVP.
I mean, I think he has a chance. You know, I mean, he's got the superstar receiver. Irv Smith's back, and Irv Smith, if he's healthy, is a promising pass-catching tight end. You got Thielen. You got K.J. Osborne. And then you're going to have more of a pass-happy offense, probably, new coaching staff. And I think that, you know, I don't know, there'll be MVP. I mean, the Vikings would have to win, you know, 11 games or something for that to be possible. And I guess it's possible. But if they do, you know, I mean, you look, what do? They look at the quarterback on the two or three best teams. And if one of them stands out, he can win MVP. I don't think it's crazy.
Yeah. Be interesting to see. And, well, Chris, I'll get started tonight. What do you like tonight?
Aaron Judge.
I like the Rams. Rams, you know. Yeah, Aaron Judge. Yeah, he may get there, Scott. He may get to 61.
I think he might.
I kind of like the Rams. They're getting 2.5 at home. And, you know, the Bills are a great team, but the Rams just won the Super Bowl. Bills, I don't know. Just seems like, the you know, in L.A., I think the Bills should be getting 2.5, and they're laying that. It's not a big deal when it's under 3, but give me the Rams to win narrowly. It should be a good game. And I think a big game for Matthew Stafford. Maybe Allen Robinson gets in the end zone in his first game as a Ram.
There you go. There you go. And we'll be back with Chris in his usual spot next Wednesday. Tell us about the website as well before we let you go here, Chris.
Yeah, I launched my own website, realmansports.substack.com. You can get in for free, and you can also subscribe if you want. I'm just basically, there's no real schedule. I just post whatever I want. I've been writing up my drafts. I've been talking about different players, Survivor, picking games against the spread. Again, it's realmansports.substack.com.
All right. Great stuff, Chris. We'll talk next Wednesday, and good luck in week one.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. Chris List joining us Wednesdays, and his appearance is brought to you by Imon Communications. It's coming up on 3:30. Mark, do you want to go ahead with your email sideway scoreboard?
I can do that.
Before we talk to Tom Kakert, coming up here from HawkeyeReport.com. Go ahead. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're open at 4 o'clock. Check them out online at emilshideaway.com. Right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
The University of Iowa has announced that John Hardy.
Haystack.
Haystack is the honorary captain for Saturday's game against Iowa State. Hardy, out of Sioux City, was a three-time all-conference player at Iowa. Second-round NFL draft pick and two-time Super Bowl champion for the 49ers. On the MLB scoreboard, eighth inning, Washington leading St. Louis 7-4. In the seventh, the Cubs leading Cincinnati 2-1. Milwaukee at San Francisco just underway. It's scoreless. And finally, Big Ten men's basketball schedules released today. May get to more of this later on, but the highlight for Iowa, three Saturday games, four Sunday games.
Yeah, you got to think there are going to be some, you know, men in the morning, women at night, or women in the afternoon, men at night.
Could be.
Some of those, because the women got a lot of weekend slots as well. Fran McCaffrey's got to be happy, and we will take a look at that coming up before 4 o'clock here today. Thank you, Mark, and thanks to Emil's Hideaway for helping us out with the scoreboard each and every day right here on KGYM. Going to get you a weather forecast and a break. Come back. Tom Kakert joins us when we return after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine today and some haze in the sky as well. We'll have temperatures climbing up into the low to mid 80s this afternoon with relatively low humidity, though it'll feel pretty warm under that sunshine. Later tonight, we'll have clear skies. Temperatures drop down to a low around 60. Then tomorrow, we're back with the sunshine and temperatures in the mid 80s. We are going to have clouds building in Saturday and rain chances increasing in the evening. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Kick off week one with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code COON to get in on the action. Then you can turn game day into payday all season long. A bet I'd like with $150 in free bets? I'd think about taking the Minnesota Vikings over the Green Bay Packers in week one. Green Bay looked really flat a year ago. Aaron Rodgers hasn't had any preseason time to gel with his new receivers, and I think the Vikings have a shot in this game. Play your way and bet on more than just the final score. You can wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to total catches. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code KUHN. 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
CRST is looking for diesel truck mechanics in Cedar Rapids. Come help maintain their fleet of tractors and trailers. All skill levels are encouraged to apply. Even if you're not sure you meet the requirements, apply and try. CRST offers competitive starting wages and a comprehensive benefits package, plus four-day work weeks, a boot allowance, uniform laundry services, and the latest shop tools and equipment. Apply to be a diesel truck mechanic now at crst.com/jobs or contact McCall Atwater at 319-440-1034.
As officers, we see people do a lot of not safe things while driving. People thinking they can text and drive, or not use their turn signals, or pretend they're drafting, not tailgating, forgetting about a semi's giant blind spots. Our job is to keep you safe from all of that and more. So Iowa DOT Motor Vehicle Enforcement is partnering with local law enforcement to identify dangerous drivers, whether they're in cars or semis. Let's make the roads safe for everyone. Our family, protecting yours.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email Julie at KZIA.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Welcome back. It is a gym class for Thursday at KGYM. Tomorrow, your thoughts about Iowa and Iowa State, your picks. We'll have the Emil's Hideaway pick six for you coming up tomorrow as well. So that's the Friday edition of the program. Coming your way from the Circus Sports Iowa studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as we get ready to talk Iowa and Iowa State as we are happy to be joined by Tom Kakert. Give him a follow on Twitter. Read all his stuff at HawkeyeReport.com. And I know one thing. You're probably looking forward to the game, but you are not looking forward to the potential gridlock and traffic problems that everybody is tweeting about today, are you, Tom?
No. Going to get there early.
How early is early?
And stay late. And stay late. You know, I'll probably get there between 11 and 12.
That's early.
And then just stay until, you know, they kick me out.
You have 20 seconds to recap last Saturday's game. I'm kidding.
Snooze fest. There you go.
Oh, man.
What happened in your mind to the Iowa offense?
What I think, I think it was a combination of things. I think Spencer did not play very well at all. And I think the offensive line struggled. And they're down, you know, they dressed two scholarship wide receivers. And that's no disrespect to Alec Wick or Johnson or any of those other young men. But when you're down some of your best, wide receivers, and really only one of your scholarship wide receivers plays. I mean, Brody Brecht played one snap. All those things kind of put together in a big mix of yuck. And it's just that's the result that you got was an offense that generated 166 yards of total offense and only 3 points of total offense. And you got outscored by your defense.
With that being said, Tom, looking ahead to what we think could happen on Saturday, I'll say this. I don't think the offense is going to perform worse. They're still going to be without quite a few key components. How Rico Neganey is not going to be in there. Who knows about Gavin Williams, Keegan Johnson, who knows? Brody Breck sounds like he is going to get in a little bit more. But potentially, anyway, you know, you could have a lot of guys out again. What will give Iowa fans optimism that this is going to be a better Saturday than last week?
I think the old adage is that the coaches will tell you is that you make most improvement from week one to week two. And perhaps that's part of the equation here is that particularly the offensive line, a lot of young guys, you know, four of those five guys were starting for the first time at the position they started at. Because Young was always a right tackle and he started at right guard and kind of Colby started at right tackle and he'd always started at right guard. So, you have guys at different spots. And I think that's part of the equation here is that, you just got to get comfortable. I did think it was interesting yesterday that it sure felt like, Brian Ferentz put Spencer Petras on notice and just kind of said that, that there was more on him and that he's got to make those plays and that his fundamentals were off and that he's got to clean those things up. So it would not shock me if Spencer struggles that we do see a change this week.
If I'm a glass half full guy, I would say when was the last time Iowa started its season with a bang up performance? Do you remember?
I can't remember one. Happened to have lunch with Pat Anger the other day, and I was joking with him about the first game of the 09 season where you and I almost beat them and probably should have beat them. And then the next week they went to Ames and won 35-3, and Brett Greenwood and Tyler Sash intercepted five passes total between the two of them. So it can change awfully quick, guys. It's just a matter of what happened, just getting out there and playing.
Well, what is lost, Tom, is the fact that two of the three entities, as far as a football team, performed very well in that game. I guess that is the glass half full and even more side of the story.
Yeah, it is that, what can you say about Torrey Taylor that hasn't been already said? I mean, 10 punts, average almost 48 yards a kick, 7 of the 10 inside the 20, several of them inside the 5. He was tremendous. And it's kind of what you expect. The return game wasn't as great as it has been, but minus Charlie Jones, but that was kind of to be expected, I think. And then the defense was spectacular. I mean, Jack Campbell, the defensive line was terrific. Quinn Schulte is a revelation back there. Boy, I didn't know what to expect from him, but he looked like a young Sean Considine out there flying around breaking up passes.
In terms of Iowa State, played SEMO, Southeast Missouri State, not as good as an FCS team as South Dakota State, I think everybody would agree. But really, kind of what the doctor ordered type of performance from Iowa State. What were your thoughts?
I only saw highlights of their game, so I really don't have a lot to offer other than, Hunter Deckers is really talented and made a lot of throws, lefty, so it's a little bit different for them, but he's pretty mobile, big kid. I'm very familiar with the Brock kid, being around the Western Big Six, where conference that he played in is on the Illinois side of the Quad Cities. So that's see him plenty, and he's a load of a back. But I just diving into the numbers, though, the Iowa State defense just looked like it wasn't a real strong performance from them. But they're replacing a lot of talent, a lot of veteran guys on that side of the ball for sure.
Couple matchups. Tom Caker joining us here, by the way. And Tom, of course, with Hawkeye Report, and read his stuff there on Twitter as well. And a couple of things that you were looking at as far as keys in your mind anyway to an Iowa win or an Iowa State win coming up on Saturday.
Well, I think the top line item that's been probably the biggest thing in this series the last 6 years has been turnovers, and that Iowa State has had a lot of them and Iowa hasn't had many of them. And that's been the difference in a lot of close, tight, hard fought games, either in Iowa City or in Ames. And I think that's the top of line thing really for me is turnovers and short fields mistakes. I think special teams plays a role as well. And just giving up big plays. That's, Phil Parker's mantra is you give up two or fewer plays over 20 yards, you're going to give up 14 points or less every time. And if you give up three or more, you're going to give up probably 28. So that's his math. He's figured it out. And so you just got to prevent big plays. Don't turn the ball over. I think Spencer said something about that Ryan Ferentz told them that in games where they have not had a turnover, they've won 100% of their games. So I don't know if that's true, but that's something to look at too.
Tom joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. You mentioned Quinn Schulte. What a terrific, terrific game he had. Had to have at least four or five breakups. Back at his safety position. The defensive backfield was very, very good. You throw Cooper DeJean in there as well at cash, and it was a very, very good performance by that secondary group.
Yeah, it was. Like I said earlier, I was just so impressed with Quinn because he did not show any nerves of a guy making his first major college start. He looked like he was totally comfortable out there. Looked like he was totally relaxed, in control, didn't make mistakes, was in the right spot, timing was great on those four pass breakups that he was credited with. I thought the secondary played really well. Cooper DeJean got the start. Terry Roberts was really good when Cooper moved over to the cash position. So that secondary is just, you know, just that whole back end, Jack Campbell, Seth Benson. They're going to miss Justin Jacobs this weekend, but Logan Klimt and his mullet will be out there from time to time as well.
Because of the play of the secondary, is that why we didn't see Xavier Wampa more?
Yeah, that's probably why I would say that didn't see him more, just because they were playing so well. They kind of got his feet wet a little bit on the special teams units, so he's been able to, you know, get out there a little bit. He and T.J. Hall is another kid in the secondary that's probably going to play eventually this year, but they're just right now kind of getting their feet wet in the special teams units, and I think that's a good way to get them started. But I suspect as the season goes along, you're going to see both those guys out there on defense a little bit.
Hey, talking about special teams, you've got two teams that have new kickers, freshman kickers, that are going to be debuting in a pretty darn big game, which usually is very close and could come down to a last-second kick. Yeah, that could be interesting. Tom, you there?
I lost you guys.
There you go. I think you're back now.
There you are.
Yeah.
There you are.
I had a great question, too. I will.
I lost you guys. I didn't know where you went.
Well, we are back, so that's good news. No, I was talking about we got freshman kickers for both teams coming up for this game. Yeah. Usually in a close battle, special teams, a kick can go, you know, push this one way or the other. So that ought to make things very interesting Saturday.
Yeah, and we've had a couple of those games in recent times in this series. You know, that 2018, the 13-3 game. You go back to 2012, the 9-6 game at Kinnick. Both those low-scoring games, by the way, at Kinnick. So it just feels like this is going to be a low-scoring game where I've joked that the first team to double figures might win the game. Yeah, the kickers are going to be a big part of it. Aaron Blum was 1 of 2 on field goals, and we didn't see Drew Stevens on any field goals. So it seems like Kirk is going to stick with Blum for at least right now and see how he does. But Stevens handled the kickoffs at least.
Big Ten men's basketball schedule is out today, Tom, as you know. Iowa with 7 weekend games, and the women have about the same amount. So a lot of activity on the weekends during hoops.
Yeah, and I was running this by a couple of friends of mine who are season ticket holders, and they were ecstatic with this schedule because it gets them out of the, you know, 4 times a season where you're during Big Ten season where you're having to go to an 8 o'clock game on a Tuesday night at Carver Hawkeye in February, and that's just not much fun. So they like the Sunday games, like the Saturday games, Saturday against Illinois and a Saturday against Michigan State. Those are things that I know Fran McCaffrey has been kind of campaigning for. So very favorable home schedule for Iowa, I would say.
Yeah, I think Fran's got to be happy. He's campaigned for this for a while. And, you know, obviously the success that the men's basketball team has had is taken notice now by the Big Ten office.
Yeah, and I guess it's if you the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? You know, he's made it mentioned plenty of times. So I think now it's time to get it fixed, and they did.
All right. Besides bad traffic, what are we going to see Saturday between Iowa and Iowa State? What are you thinking?
I think low scoring. I think Iowa's defense ends up being the story of the game. I think they're the single best unit of all of the potential units on the field, and I think that
that leads Iowa to a 17-10 victory on Saturday afternoon.
Does the defense score one of those points?
There's a good possibility of that happening, yes.
There won't be two safeties this week.
How do you get to 17 with all safeties?
You don't.
You get
eight safeties. You can't. You can get what can you get, like, to 14? You get seven safeties and a field goal.
Seven save 14. That's 17. That works. You got to throw a six and a 2-point conversion in there to make things really, you know, kind of goofy anyway. Field goal and then some safeties.
Well, hey, you know, the great thing about my career is that now I can say I've covered a 7-3 game and a with two safeties and a field goal as the seven and a 6-4 game in my career. So, you know, I think I can that's big time.
That's a top line of the resume right there.
The lead of my obituary, right? You know.
Oh, no, let's not talk about
Once
that.
Covered a 7-3 and 6-4 game.
All right. Hey, Tom, appreciate it as always. Keep up the great work at Hawkeye Report, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks for having me on, guys. Always enjoy it.
All right. Tom Kakert joining us here on the Gym Class for a Thursday on KGYM. By the way, Cy-Hawk Trophy Series gets started tonight, Mark, with women's soccer.
Okay.
6 o'clock is the match time in Ames between Iowa and Iowa State. So Iowa State won the title a year ago, and they will look to defend, and Iowa will look to take it away. Now, the football game is, correct me if I'm wrong, that's three, right? You get 2 points for winning everything else. You get like a point or two for academics. You get however they come up with that. And then you get three for the football win.
Don't ask me.
I don't know. I don't pay much attention to it, but people are talking about it today. There you go. 319-366-1600 at 351. Before we get to a break, want to let you know, have fun with the little dude at sports-related events you both enjoy. Join the Sports Buddies program with Big Brothers, Big Sisters. You can get details at bigcr.org. That's bigcr.org. Gym Class presented by DePaco Community Credit Union. Find out more by going to their website at dupaco.com. We'll be back, and we'll take a look at the Iowa men's basketball schedule when we return.
We need to hire for another position. No problem. It's not like I'm already trying to juggle 5 job sites, screen candidates, schedule interviews, and, you know, do my job.
You've had it, and we get it. JobFunnel simplifies your search. Fill out info once and we post it to all the big job sites. JobFunnel makes it easy to prioritize applicants, keep track of things, even send bulk email responses, all from one streamlined hub. Go to KZIA.com and click on JobFunnel to get started. Breathe. JobFunnel's on it.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
KGYM Sports Radio brings you tips on how to enjoy an Iowa football game. Step 1, secure your tickets or game viewing location. Step 2, buddy up with who grills the best tailgate food. Step 3, listen to the Before the Boom podcast to get you ready for kickoff.
5X480, Dayton B100 V-Belt, one of the many parts Granger carries. It's also the item that helped Rob carry the day. The job was on hold, deadline fast approaching. But a quick search on Grainger.com and Rob found his part. And with same-day pickup at his local branch, he and his crew got the job done, safely and on time. Get supplies and solutions for every industry with real-time product availability. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with our free loaner tool program. Your local store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required. Ask our professional parts people about the loaner tool program today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Iowa State game, you can hear that with the Cyclone Radio Network coming up on Saturday, 1 o'clock with the pregame from Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, just past 3 o'clock with the kickoff for the game. And then The voice of the Cyclones, who will call that game, John Walters, will join Todd and Alex on Mondays at 4:35. And that is brought to you, his appearance by our good friend Craig Adamson at True Wealth Stewardship, online at truewealthstewardship.com. 319-366-1600. Yes, Cajun Troy, we are ready for some football. We got the Rams and the Bills tonight, 6:30, on all of our frequencies right here on KGYM. Before we get to Iowa basketball, Mark, we got to get to a little thing called Bowling Night in America, the debut last night. Find out how we did. Big thanks to May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Great to see a lot of smiling faces last night, both on the lanes, behind the counters, et cetera, et cetera. I got the locker open, which is always a plus on night number one, and wasted three strikes on my three practice balls. But we had a great time last night.
Pretty even match for the opener, Rusty Nails, winning 15.5 to 14.5. And nobody really broke out to a big lead. The best record last night was 19-11. So everybody's pretty much in the mix for the next 32 weeks.
Yeah, it may change a little.
It may change a little.
We have a new team, though.
Tell us about it.
They're good. Yes, sir, is the team. I don't know if that is an homage to Vern Lundquist, but made up of pretty much former Mount Mercy bowlers and Mike Robinson, who put the team together. Thank you, Mike, to get a 14th team. So we don't play a bye, but yeah, they just threw a 300, one of them last night, and they were all like 235 to 245 averages.
That perfect game coming from Darren Bloomquist. He had a 300 and a 747 series to sweep individual honors last night.
Yeah, other than that, not a lot of big high games last night. So lanes are tough. We'll try her again next week when we go up against Grill Works. Buzz is back, by the way. Good to have Buzz back after a one-year hiatus. Good to have our left-hander Corey Starry back as well after a one-year hiatus as well. Give the phone number, Mark. If you are interested, they will find a league for you if you want to join up.
Definitely, 362-0136, or you can visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Real quick, Iowa basketball will start on Halloween night when Jeff Horner and Truman State come up the Avenue of the Saints from Kirksville for an exhibition game. The opener is Monday, November the 7th against Bethune-Cookman. Some of the important dates, Wednesday, November 16th at Seton Hall for the Gavitt Games. You've got Iowa and Clemson at the Emerald Coast Classic, and then TCU or Cal will come up. Georgia Tech at home for the ACC Challenge, the ACC Big Ten Challenge on Tuesday, November the 29th. Duke in New York City, the Jimmy V Classic on Tuesday, December the 6th. That will be the second game. That's the nightcap of that doubleheader. And Iowa goes from Duke 2 days later to take on Iowa State at home. And then 3 days after that, at home to take on Wisconsin. That's going to be a very interesting three-game stretch.
Challenging,
right
there. Yeah.
Thursday, December the 29th, Big Ten ball picks up again. Iowa is at Nebraska, and then they turn around on Sunday, January the 1st, when they go to Penn State. So there you go. Iowa closes the season at home on Sunday, March the 5th, when Fred Hoiberg and Nebraska come in.
No opener against Purdue. That's odd.
No. Purdue, in fact, once. That is it, and it's toward the end of the year.
Hmm.
So a little bit different look right there. What do you like tonight, Rams or Bills?
Rams.
I like the Rams, too.
If the lights stay on.
If the lights stay on, there's no thunderstorms or anything. I think the Rams win it. I think the Rams win it tonight. We'll see at home. 6:30, we'll have it for you right here from Westwood One on KGYM. Your thoughts about Iowa State, the pick six coming up tomorrow. So tune in at 3. Todd and Alex coming your way next with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. I'll be out with John Hagerty, Jefferson, and Davenport Central tonight, 7:15 on CRM Live Sports. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here. End the summer strong by starting up a new season of productivity.